There's a conservative think tank called the Center for Security Policy, and they are sounding the alarm, saying that artificial intelligence could be the new Cold War between the U.S. and China. Let's bring in Dr. J. Michael Waller, from former CIA operative and senior analyst for this conservative think tank, the Strategy for Center for Security Policy. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
We are talking about AI so much every single day in the news, but this is around who would control it, and you see this as the new Cold War.
Absolutely. It's dangerous enough the way it's going with just the American AI, but when you think that the Chinese Communist Party is seeking to dominate it globally, it becomes really alarming.
You know, one of the concerns is that AI-driven military systems can make decisions faster than humans can respond. How real is the danger of an unintended conflict that's sparked by, you know, autonomous systems acting on their own?
It's very real, and we can't even begin to imagine how real it could be, because we don't think this way. Once you program machines to think for themselves, and those machines can become autonomous, it's dangerous enough in a free society. But if you have an adversary that creates AI to push its own geopolitical ends, then you have a dangerous new weapon that we're just not equipped to deal with.
Well, and it seems, too, that the race is not only the way that these AI systems operate, but then when you pair them with quantum computing chips, when you start to be able to power them in those ways, what the future holds is almost uncharted. And so the worry that this gets into a nefarious actor's hands, if they're first to that line, we don't know what those consequences look like.
Right. Yeah. Imagine if you get into quantum computing that they can uncover every single password ever invented, ever imagined, ever imaginable. They can break into any kind of system. They can outwit any other kind of computer or human thinking faster than you can blink an eye. So the opportunities and the dangers are colossal. And if we surrender our lead in this, then it's going to go straight to China.
So if China is the leader in this, then everyone has to sort of use their systems that are developed by the CCP. We don't want that. So is this why the president is sort of unleashing AI and research and such and talking about it in the Oval Office?
Right. He's really walking a tightrope on this because, as Elon Musk has pointed out many times, AI on its own can represent a civilizational threat to us if we let our own AI get out of hand. That's why you need to have guardrails on what it can do and how it can be powered, especially when machines can start becoming sentient, meaning that they are aware of their own existence and they're going to do whatever they can to preserve themselves, which means they view us human beings as a threat. So if we allow China to dominate this, and this is something that the Chinese Communist Party has been planning in each of its successive five-year plans for the past 15 years. They're drawing up their next five-year plan out through 2030 when they say, we will become the globally dominant AI power. That means that it will control, as it already does, the majority of exotic raw materials like rare earths elements. But once it gets large enough to produce cheap AI, like it's already doing with DeepSeek, and floods the market with cheap AI technology the way it has with other technology, it will put American companies out of business or at least severely handicap them, and then will require the world standards to be under the standards that Beijing determines and not that the free societies determine.
Dr. Waller, there's a growing fear that, you know, rogue nations or extremist groups could get access to advanced AI tools. What forms of international cooperation, even between rivals, are essential to prevent catastrophic misuse?
Well, that's a big issue. The way we're looking at it now is the way we looked at arms control with the Soviet Union, where it was diplomatic and it was methodical and it was verifiable and so forth. We don't have those abilities right now because nothing's verifiable and everything operates so slow on human terms, on daily terms. It doesn't move ahead anywhere near as fast as the technology does. So this is a whole new world where we may not be able to control who gets this technology.
Do you think the federal government is looking at this the way that you are, the way that that your think tank is? Do you think that they're aware of the possibilities that would arise if for example, China got a hold of this technology first?
Yes, they're aware of it. Industry's aware of it. Our allies are aware of it. It's a non-political issue, so people can agree or disagree on say the technical or technological terms. So I'm not a techie. I'm more of a strategist, and so they. It's good to see this general consensus about it. However, though, President Trump broke the mold when he reversed President Biden's executive orders on what to do about AI. Biden had been taking a sort of an old-fashioned arms control, diplomatic, methodical approach to slowing down AI, but it was only slowing down American AI development. It wasn't slowing down what our adversaries were doing, and really China's the only peer adversary in this case. Well, industry has actually been warning. Even Eric Schmidt, one of the former leaders of Google, has been very vocal in warning about this for years. So it goes across sort of the cultural and political spectrum in the U.S. and in the West.
Yeah, wasn't there sort of this report or letter that people all signed, and they were high up in sort of technology and AI, saying AI can be dangerous?
Yes, there's been quite a bit of that, and then discussion among the actual creators and leaders of American and Western AI. So when you think even they were urging us to slow down and pause, as Elon Musk had been doing, let's just pause and just reflect on where we're going on this. With this race with China to become dominant in AI, we're stuck in a terrible conundrum because we can't afford to pause, yet it's too dangerous to move ahead really rapidly.
This feels like a movie. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, it's like all your worst nightmares come true at the same time. I mean, we can't forget all the good things coming out of AI, but just think of it. So President Trump has a strategy that he came out with working closely with industry. It came out in July, and he was implementing it very rapidly, even in his very first days as president, before the full strategy came out. So he's been really fast pulling down a lot of the red tape and bureaucracy that has been holding us back, both in the AI technological creative part, but also in the energy part. Because to power AI, you need nuclear power, and we don't have it. Well, China's building it like crazy.
Well, it's an interesting topic. It's a little scary. Hopefully we could get to a better place, but thank goodness for think tanks. Dr. J. Michael Waller, thanks for your time.
Nice to be with you.
Think tanks get you thinking.
Yeah,
that's right.
This to me has always been very scary.
Yeah.
I think AI in and of itself is a little scary, but then when you think about other countries controlling it, also scary.
But like, you know,
very scary.
Love the fact that for people who are spelling illiterate like me, my email will autocorrect for me. That's wonderful. Great technology. Everything else feels a little.
Yeah.
It's just
something impersonating you. Yeah. That's not fun.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to keep thinking on this show in the next segment. I have a little update on Dan Campbell and his reading glasses.
Love it.